In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you can be seated. Both our first lesson and the last lesson, or the first lesson and the gospel lesson, are about the same thing, the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Both written by Luke as well, right? Luke wrote the gospel, Luke wrote the book of Acts. So Acts chapter 1 picks up where Luke chapter 24 ends off. Luke chapter 24, what you just heard, are the very ending words of that gospel. The whole life and ministry of Jesus in the gospel of Luke, right? Luke, the historian who starts with the birth of Jesus, goes all through his ministry, the miracles, his teaching, his preaching, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. Jesus was with the disciples how long? 40 days after Easter. So think of it, Easter is 40 days ago. If you took Easter and counted 40 days, the actual date of the ascension was last Thursday. That long, from Easter till then, Jesus teaching more about the kingdom, telling them who he is and what he's about. And then on Thursday, up he goes, right? Up he goes. They must have been stunned by it. I want to say some things about it tonight. What is the ascension about? What is going on here? Several different things I want to say. First thing about the ascension is this. At a very, very practical level, the ascension answers what happens with the body of Jesus, right? It's just very practical stuff. What happens with the body of Jesus? Jesus, you will recall, has raised other people from the dead, right? And this is not the first resurrection. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. I always love those miracles. Imagine if you were Lazarus, you were dead, and then you came back to life. But what's going to happen to Lazarus? He's going to die again, right? Can you imagine? Thank you, Jesus. I get to die twice. That's nice. The son of the widow of Nain. Remember the poor widow? One son. He dies. Jesus raises him. He's going to die at another time. Now, we want to be really, really clear about this, and I know you are, but Jesus rose from the dead, seen by hundreds of witnesses who put their lives on the line. The Roman government said, stop preaching about Jesus, and they said, we know what we saw, right? I've mentioned it that way many times. I think that's just literally what they said. We know what we saw. Now, if Jesus was like everybody else, we could say, well, there's an empty tomb. And there is an empty tomb. In fact, if you've been to Jerusalem, we're not sure which one. There's two tombs. Does everybody know that? There's historical arguments. Was it here or there? There's two tombs. People argue about it. But they're both empty, right? So you could say they're both empty. But if Jesus lived all the rest of his days on earth, what would have happened? He'd be buried somewhere else. You could say, well, his tomb is empty, but there would be a different tomb somewhere else. Does that make sense? And there's some people that have looked for that. Where is that tomb? Doesn't exist, right? Jesus Christ rose from the dead, literally, historically, walked out of his grave, leaving an empty tomb and not being buried somewhere else, right? So the ascension solves sort of the practical reality. Why no tomb for Jesus? Ascended into heaven, right? Just as depicted on our front glass. If this sermon gets boring at any point, just look at that front glass. That's all you have to do is say, that's what we're talking about today. Now, don't even look over there. I'll get very self-conscious about it. But Christ has ascended to the right hand of God, where he lives and reigns to all eternities. Now, that's the first thing it's about. I want to say something else that I don't think I've preached this before, but I want to notice it this year. I believe the ascension is when the disciples finally, actually get it. You would think all along that they would be getting it. What is Jesus doing? Teaching, preaching, healing, miracles over nature. And what are the disciples saying? Stupid stuff. The entire way through the Gospels, all they say is the dumbest stuff you could possibly imagine. Right? I'm going to list just a couple. You know them. But they walk past a man who's blind, and what do they say? Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Because that was the old concept. If you were righteous, God was good to you. If you were blind, God was punishing you. That's silly, but the disciples thought it, and Jesus rebuked them, of course. One time, people were rejecting Jesus. The disciples literally say, Jesus, should we call down fire from heaven and burn these people up? Is that consistent with the life and ministry of Jesus? No. One time, one of the brothers came and said, "Jesus, when you come on in your kingdom, let me sit on your right hand and let my brother sit on your left hand." Wow, right? Geniuses. And one time, they weren't even talking to Jesus. Jesus was getting ready with something else, and the disciples are talking amongst themselves, and what are they arguing about? Who's the greatest? Which one of us is the greatest? This is the Jesus who's been talking about that he who serves is the greatest. They're saying, who's the greatest? Like, I'll get out of serving. What does he do? He washes their feet. They must have felt that big, right? So here's the beauty of it. Have you ever said or thought stupid stuff? If you have, all you have to do is read the Gospels and you will feel right at home, right? So not only read the Gospels and feel at home, read the Gospels and say, Jesus loved those knuckleheads anyway. He can love me too, right? He can love me too. Now, you would say, okay, cross and resurrection. They finally got it. That's what I would love to say. I think I probably preached that somewhere in my ministry, that all his teaching, all his preaching, all his healing, then Jesus dies, then he rises. And you see, after his rising from the dead, now they get it. You know what? They don't. They don't. Now, I think most of you will know the answer to this question. Not all, of course, but most of Israel rejected Jesus as the Messiah. Why? They're looking for a king, right? Jesus came as a servant, and Jesus came in humility. They're looking for a king. They're looking for somebody powerful. Jesus, come in here and kick the Romans out. So that's why most people missed it, right? So Jesus, in Acts chapter 1, is risen from the dead, has been teaching them for 40 days. And what do they say in Acts chapter 1, verse 6? The very thing that everybody around them is thinking. This is the risen Jesus. And they say, I quote, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" You see what they're saying? We get it, you didn't do it before, but how about now? Remember, can I sit on your right hand when you what? Come in your kingdom. Jesus, you're risen from the dead. Is this the kingdom now? Are you going to make us powerful now? They don't get it. They don't get it. I think he ascends into heaven, and they finally go, oh, not like that, right? That's why our front window is like this. The crucified, risen, ascended Jesus is when the disciples finally get it. Come into church, look at that window and say, that's who my Jesus is. The crucified, risen, ascended Lord and returning, right? Now, because of this, third point I want to make tonight, the ascension of Jesus puts us in the church age. Not my word, theologians always say that. You're in the church age. And the church age is in many ways a kind of odd in-between time. To be here for the earthly ministry of Jesus would have been a hoot, right? To watch Jesus in person doing it. And we know that he is coming back again, but when is he coming back? Don't know, so where are we? Right? We're somewhere between here and there. And the angels literally say this. Jesus ascends into heaven, Acts 1:11. It's one verse, and we live in the middle of this verse, Acts 1:11. The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. That's one verse, and it covers several thousand years. A couple thousand years. One verse. You saw Jesus go into heaven, he'll come back. And they cover it like boom, like that. Where are we? What year is it? 2023? Are you kidding me? I thought the world was going to end in 2000. Oh well. It's bizarre that's almost a quarter century ago, isn't it? We do live in this weird in-between time where we have this word of God that tells us about the whole life and ministry of Jesus, so we can say we've seen the Lord, we've seen in the text, what he's like, what he sounds like, what he talks like, what he does, right? Have we seen the Lord? Yes. And now what are we doing? Waiting. It's been a long time. A lot of Christians have been buried since that time. We're waiting. And so the church says, Jesus ascended on high where he lives and reigns. And we say it doesn't feel like he reigns, right? We say we've been redeemed by Christ. We're the called children of God. It seems like the church is put upon. We know the truth and the truth will set you free. It feels like we're not free, right? That's this weird era. That's where we live. Jesus, by ascending into heaven, lives and reigns. By the way, he's preparing a place. He said that, John 14. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I'll take you to be with me, and you'll be with me forever. When, Lord? Right? That's what we want to ask. When, Lord? And Jesus doesn't answer that. He says it here again. He says it other places. It's not your place to know when. But he says, I'm not going to tell you when, but I will tell you this. What's he saying? You will receive power, and you will be my what? My witnesses. And that is what the church age is. The church age is that Jesus' entire earthly ministry is fulfilled. He is in heaven, and that puts us on mission. The mission to go and preach and teach and baptize, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I don't know if Jesus said that with a smile, because let me ask you, where is the end of the earth? It seems round, right? I want to send you until you get to the end of the earth. We haven't gotten there yet. What is the end of the earth? I don't know. It's not South Carolina, I know that much. Last thing I want to mention is this. Believers, and this is a toughie, believers are called to deal with change. You hear that? Believers are called to deal with change. And the reason I mention is this. I think all of us have a natural human tendency to want to set like our life in the way we want it. And then once we get it how we want it, what do we want to do? We want to keep it. And we live in routine. And I know exactly what my routine is, right? Every day, I do it, I do the same thing. Here's one of my favorite questions ever. Putting on shoes and socks. There's two ways to do this. You can put on one sock, and then the other sock, and then a shoe, and then a shoe. Or you can put on one sock, and that shoe, and the other sock, and that shoe. You know which one you do, right? Do you do the same thing every day? I've been doing the same thing for many, many years. I put on one sock and then one shoe. That's the right way, by the way. It's weird to be sitting there with two socks on your feet. My wife does it the other way. There's always one in every marriage. We'll talk later, I guess. Here's the weird thing. Try it the other way. No, why would you bother? We are creatures of habit. And with stuff like that, it's perfectly fine. But what about the rest of life? Isn't it full of changes? It's just full of them. I want to say real quick, but not everything. I have to pause and say this. Not everything changes. I want to be very, very clear. The truth of God's word does not and cannot change. The truth of life in Christ does not change, right? The truth of God's moral law does not change. I'm not sure why we live in an era where everybody thinks, well, now it's modern times. All the old truths are gone. I don't buy that for a second. But there is a lot of change in life. You move, you live, you age, you buy a different house, Your shoes wear out. Life is full of change. And the disciples thought for 40 days, Jesus is risen from the dead. This is great. And that was about to change, right? Now, the reason I said believers are called to deal with change, I've often read this text thinking, well, Jesus ascended into heaven, and they must have stood there thinking, this is terrible. Did you know that that's not in the text? Luke 24 does not say, they said, this is terrible. Luke 24, verse 52 and 53, Jesus ascends into heaven, and it says, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Chew on that for a minute. They received change with great joy. I do not, right? And the next verse, as they were continually in the temple praising God. By the way, that's going to change when the persecution comes. So the Lord Jesus did not leave us to leave us. He just put us in this situation. He promises to be with us, and he is in a new way. And he put us on a mission. How long is the mission going to last? Until he comes again. When is that? Don't know. But I do know that the Lord lives and reigns at the right hand of God. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.